next, we're going to hear Fran Michel talking about education in the age of neoliberalism.
Good morning, Moles. This is Fran Michel here with what may be the first of a series of well-read reads on higher education in the age of neoliberalism. You may know that the Portland teachers are headed for a strike vote on Wednesday. The bus drivers who deliver students to and from their homes and the member unions of the District Council of Trade Unions are also looking at a possible strike. But so too are faculty at Portland State University. According to Jose Padin of the PSU Faculty Union, the yearly payroll of PSU's president and top management has increased by $5 million, while the average faculty salary is $38,000 per year. This is not unique to PSU. As Ron Cox argues in a review essay on the corporatization of higher education, the administrative bureaucracies of U.S. universities have enlarged their ranks, their staff, and their embedded dependency on the marketplace and the corporate sector over the past 40 years. At the same time, full-time faculty positions have steadily declined, while universities are relying much more on adjuncts and instructors to teach undergraduate students. A precipitous reduction in public financing has driven these trends, but the political economy of neoliberalism offers a broader conceptual framework. The university culture increasingly privileges those disciplines that can patent, brand, and market products through corporate partnerships over disciplines that encourage critical thinking designed to engage democratic citizenship and to challenge the status quo. As universities maneuver to replace the steady decline in public funding from the 1990s to the present, we see tuition hikes and greater reliance on wealthy donors and corporate partnership. The costs of tuition and fees at public universities have risen by 300% versus the Consumer Price Index from 1990 to the present, exceeding the costs of health care, energy, and housing. Meanwhile, the Department of Education projects that the U.S. government stands to make about $185 billion on student debt over the next decade. The cost burdens of higher education have been transferred from the rich to the middle and working class, eviscerating the very concept of the public university in favor of market-based practices and incentives. We can see this as an outcome of a 40-year political assault from conservative intellectuals, right-wing think tanks and foundations, financed with corporate money and supported by politicians from both political parties who have accepted and promoted the marketization of the university. We can see roots of the attack on public universities within a business-led critique of the costs of financing a public sector that has increasingly constrained the private sector's pursuit of profit. As early as 1971, Lewis Powell began to frame this critique of the public university in the context of a long memo written for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Powell expressed concern about the decline of business influence in politics and frustration that leaders in the system of free enterprise were unable to control universities, even though they ran university board of trustees and funded universities with their tax dollars. In 1987, the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development reported on education and recommended that university administration would need to dismantle strong forms of collegial control that made universities less manageable and replace them with strong corporate-style administrators. According to the report, only radical groups, some of which were housed in universities, were delusional enough to embrace the image of a society in which economic considerations take second place to quality of life. Such nostalgic considerations led these radicals to not pay attention to the realities of economic competition. In the 1980s, the new right launched a sustained attack on multiculturalism and political correctness on university campuses. A key tactic of the movement was to rely on a long American tradition of anti-intellectualism to critique humanities and the social sciences as being feeding grounds for un-American attitudes and critiques of American society. The essence of this project was to create a context in which critical thinking, essential to democratic participation in the polity and the economy, has been eviscerated in favor of a market-based approach to knowledge. If knowledge acquisition cannot help a student find a job, what good is it? The growth of the public university system, much like the K-12 system in general, was always located in the particular parameters of capitalist power relationships and designed to serve elite interests in the broader economy and polity. The public university system, at the height of its grandeur in the 1960s, was a system made possible by an infusion of Cold War military spending. But the Cold War structure of the public university at times enabled a wider dissemination of public knowledge into the broader society. The older liberal model of governance largely left public universities alone to run their own affairs, but no longer. As Cox summarizes, the expanded administrative hierarchy entails a multi-tiered set of power relationships that have relegated two-thirds of the nation's faculty to adjunct status. The number of full-time tenure-track college and university professors have fallen from 67% of the faculty in the 1970s to 30% of the professoriate today. So we see middle-aged PhDs working as adjunct faculty and surviving only with the help of food stamps and other public assistance. We see the growth in student debt that can never be erased, even by declaring bankruptcy. We see cuts that eliminate entire programs, not just in women's studies or ethnic studies, not even just in philosophy or French, but in computer science and physics. We see the proletarianization of faculty, the rise in for-profit colleges, and the introduction of impoverished versions of pseudo-education promised by massive open online courses, or MOOCs. As Cox puts it, universities, like other institutions of neoliberal capitalism, have adopted more rigid corporate structures that have enhanced the authority and power of administrators, reduced the voices of faculty, and imposed greater costs on middle and working class students, whose debts have helped finance those that have benefited most from the system. The hollowing out of professional autonomy has been aided by a multi-tiered structure of full-time faculty, instructors, and adjuncts. Part-timers are asked to work much more for much less in teaching the growing student population whose rising tuition has become key to maintaining the system. This is no way to carry out genuine education. Workers and middle-class citizens used to be able to receive an education at affordable rates. But when that education clashed with corporate profit-making and wealth generation for a privileged elite, the cost burdens have been drawn out of the public sphere and forced downward on the masses. What is needed is a vigorous public movement that defends the concept of the public university as a vital right of an informed citizenry and a necessary tool to help reverse the widening gap between rich and poor. For the Old Mole Variety Hour, this has been Fran Michel.